After Greek, I went straight back to my room and took a sleeping pill and went to bed. The sleeping pill was an extraneous gesture. I didn't need it, but the mere possibility of restlessness, of an afternoon full of bad dreams and distant plumbing noises, was too unpleasant to even contemplate. So I slept soundly, more soundly than I should have, and the day slipped easily away. It was almost dark when somewhere, through great depths, I became aware that someone was knocking at my door. It was Camilla. I must have looked terrible because she raised an eyebrow and laughed at me. "All you ever do is sleep," she said. "Why is it you're always sleeping when I come to see you?" I blinked at her. My shades were down and the hall was dark, and to me, half drugged and reeling, she seemed not at all her bright, unattainable self, but rather a hazy and ineffably tender apparition. All slender wrists and shadows and disordered hair, the Camilla who resided dim and lovely in the gloomy boudoir of my dreams. "Come in," I said. She did, and closed the door behind her. I sat on the side of the unmade bed, feet bare and collar loose, and thought how wonderful it would be if this were really a dream. If I could walk over to where she sat and put my hands on either side of her face and kiss her. On the eyelids, on the mouth, on the place at her temple where the honey-coloured hair graded into silky gold. We looked at each other for a long time. "Are you sick?" she said. The gleam of her gold bracelet in the dark. I swallowed. It was hard to think what to say. She stood up again. "I better go," she said. "I'm sorry to have bothered you. I came to ask if you wanted to go on a drive." "What?" "A drive. It's all right, though, some other time." "Where?" "Somewhere. Nowhere. I'm meeting Francis at Commons in 10 minutes. "No, wait," I said. I felt sort of marvellous. A narcotic heaviness still clung deliciously to my limbs, and I imagined what fun it would be to wander with her, drowsy, hypnotised, up to the Commons in the fading light, the snow. I stood up. It took forever to do it, the floor receding gradually before my eyes as if I were simply growing taller and taller by some organic process, and walked to my closet. The floor swayed as gently beneath me as the deck of an airship. I found my overcoat, then a scarf. Gloves were too complicated to bother with. "Okay," I said. "Ready?" She raised an eyebrow. "Sort of cold out," she said. "Don't you think you should wear some shoes?"